You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome to your Canadiens Connection on Rocket Sports Radio. This premier hockey podcast featured at CanadiansConnection.fm brings you the latest news, in-depth analysis, and expert commentary about the NHL's most storied franchise, the Montreal Canadiens. Hosted by Rick Stevens and Amy Johnson. Our team of credentialed journalists provides behind-the-scenes insight on the Canadiens, designed to inform, entertain, and engage Habs fans around the globe. We are proud to be the trusted source for all things Habs for more than a decade. This is the Canadiens Connection Podcast.
Good afternoon, everyone, or good morning if you happen to be listening in the morning. Basically, hello and welcome to the Canadiens Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio, where each and every week we're here to talk about the Montreal Canadiens. We're keeping you informed about the Habs, engaged about what it is they're up to, and entertained, of course. My name is Amy Johnson. I'm going to be your host for today's show, which is episode 386 of Canadiens Connection. This week's episode is titled Taking Stock, Assessing the Canadiens Ahead of the NHL Trade Deadline. And oh, there's plenty to talk about with that. The Olympians might be doing their thing, but there is plenty of work and planning and evaluating to be done back in Montreal. So we're going to break all of that down for you today. And when I say we, I mean me and my wonderful co-host, who is our founder and president here at Rocket Sports. He is Rick Stevens. He's right here in the studio with me. How are you doing today?
Doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. If suddenly you just hear nothing but whooshing in the microphone, it's because I've blown away.
Oh, yeah.
With massive, massive, ridiculous winds here.
I think it's cold everywhere. It's wind chills in Montreal, right across southern Ontario. It's a cold winter weekend.
It is.
But
the Olympics have started.
I think the Groundhogs, I think Wyatt and Willie predicted an early spring, but forget about the Groundhogs.
Punxsutawney Phil
it's not
said
coming
no.
Early.
No. Punxsutawney yeah. Phil. I am not ashamed to say that I watched the live stream live of
the Groundhogs.
Phil of Punxsutawney Phil.
Okay.
There at Gobbler's Knob coming out to make his prediction.
Huh.
It's quite the event. It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah. People start lining up at 3 a.m.
Does he do a Super Bowl prediction as well?
No. In fact, it was too cold.
It was too cold?
Yeah. They didn't keep him out for very long.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Groundhog's Day in the books. Olympics opening ceremony in the books. Super Bowl on tap. It's quite a weekend.
The opening ceremony, that was tedious.
You know, I love I absolutely love the Olympic opening ceremonies. I love the artistry. I love the performing arts. Sorry, Italy, but the redeeming moment was Andrea Bocelli. And that was maybe the very opening contemporary dance number, which was pretty well done. Other than that, yeah, I was fast forwarding.
In a normal year, we would be talking about the Montreal Canadiens on Super Bowl weekend playing a matinee Saturday game, a matinee Sunday game.
That's right.
Missed those this year, particularly for the kids who like to fill the Bell Center for the traditional Super Bowl
family weekend kind of thing.
But there's still lots to talk about.
There is.
And things are going to start, we're, what, two-thirds of the way through the season? Things are going to start to move very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
The pause for the Olympic break now, then the trade deadline comes very quickly after that, and then it will be a sprint to the playoffs for the Montreal Canadiens.
Definitely. So let's give you an idea of what we're going to talk about today. And I will say, in case you're wondering, in case you're new around here, just because the NHL is on an Olympic break, Canadiens Connection is not on an Olympic break. We will be here every single week, just like we always are. Status quo, nothing changes. So you can count on getting your Habs talk every single week. And so this week, as always, we're going to start with our first segment, which is our week in review. We're going to recap the games that the Canadiens played leading up to the break. They played three games since our last episode. Rick's got some three stars of the week that he's chosen based off of those three games. And then we're going to, of course, get you up to date on the roster news, injuries or transactions, that type of thing. There is some action on the Habs prospect report in a number of different ways. Got some interesting news for you there to share, as well as some very interesting general hockey news. There was a big trade this week that we're going to talk about. And all of that leads us up to the second segment, which is our big topic of the week. And the big topic segment is between now and the trade deadline, mapping the Canadiens' next critical decisions. There is, in that segment, we're going to do three things. We're going to kind of take the 30,000 foot view of the first of all of the games for the Canadian season of the season that have gotten us to this point, and kind of give you the overview of where they stand at this point in the season. Then we're going to take a look at what is ahead, the key dates, events, and things that are going to happen between now and the trade deadline. And then we're going to go position by position and examine what the Canadiens need and what could be addressed at the trade deadline with forwards, with defense, with goaltending, and maybe a couple of other categories as well that are maybe a little outside the box. It's going to be a really fun big topic segment because there's a lot on the line right now, particularly with given how the Canadiens are playing and if they can continue that kind of trajectory after they've had a few weeks off. And then finally, in our third segment, that's where we let you have your say. We'll be reading our best responses to last week's Canadiens Connection question of the week, and we'll have a brand new question to ask all of you that we'll be anxious to get your replies to, so that we can pick the best ones to read on next week's show. So don't forget, it's an interactive show. If you want to reply to our question of the week, if you have a question for us, an opinion that you want to share, anything, just send us a text on the Rocket Sports text line. That's 5853-ROCKET. Again, 5853-ROCKET. You can also leave us a comment on our YouTube channel. You can leave a comment on Spotify if that's the platform you use to listen to the podcast. You can also hit us up on social media at Habs Connection. That's on X or Facebook or Instagram. We love to hear from you. So please do not be shy. Send in long, short, or something in between, send us your thoughts. So let's kick off by recapping the games from last week, starting with last Saturday's tilt in Buffalo. Canadiens saw a whole lot of the Sabres in the month of January, and they finished out the month with a Saturday night game in Buffalo. You wouldn't know it by looking at the stands.
Yeah, that's right.
In fact, our very own Rocket Sports teammate Brian and some of his family were there, traveled to the game. They got to take it in, sent us some great pictures.
Really nice shots, yeah.
Yeah, of how many red jerseys there were in the crowd. And great game for them and all of the Habs fans to attend, because Montreal topped Buffalo 4-2 in this one.
I'm liking these Sabres-Canadiens games this year. Similar type teams. Buffalo has a little more sides, but both young, both speedy, both very good teams. The Sabres had been on a five-game winning streak. The Canadiens put an end to that. It was Juraj Slafkovský scoring a power play goal to open the scoring. Buffalo with two in the second period could have been a lot more. Cole Caulfield, two goals in the third period, and then Oliver Kapanen with an empty netter, and the Canadiens winning 4-2. Caulfield, two goals and an assist. Dobson had a couple of assists. Oliver Kapanen with his 17th, I'll say it again, 17th for the young rookie. And Jakub Dobiš was spectacular.
Lights out, yeah.
36 saves, .947 save percentage. He was spectacular in the second period. This was a solid road victory for the Montreal Canadiens.
Definitely. Road trip continued on Monday night. Amazon.ca Prime Hockey with the Canadiens traveling to Minnesota to take on the Wild. They did manage to eke out a point in this one, but ultimately lost to Minnesota in overtime 4-3.
Yeah, the Canadiens just, they can't win in Minnesota.
No.
It's been a very, very long time. And Canadiens had a tough game. Marty mm-hmm. St. Louis said, we didn't have our A game in this one, we were off a little bit, was the quote.
Uh-huh.
Still, having said that, Canadians were able to squeak out a point. Kirby Doc got his 7th goal of the year. Lane Hutson with an insane pass to Demidov, and his one-timer, beautiful. Beautiful goal. 12 goals for Demidov already this year. And Jakub Dobiš earned the point, the overtime point, and has extended his point streak. Has not lost in regulation since December 9th. And I saw a stat somewhere that Dobiš has 26 starts this season and has garnered points in 22 of them, I believe.
Wow.
Was the stat. Incredible. Not a good game, a rough game for Mike Matheson. He was on the ice for all 4 Minnesota goals, yet still played 26 minutes in this game. He had 0 hits. Maybe that's not eye-opening at this point, but I'm going to reference it in the second segment. So just thought I would leave that there. On defense, Arber Jacki, played less than six minutes in this game.
Oof. All right. Well, fresh off of that overtime loss, then Wednesday, the Canadians wrapped up their road trip with a visit to Winnipeg to take on the Jets. This time, they were able to find the back of the net, even with Connor Hellebuck in the crease, winning this one 5-1.
This was a competitive game for the first period.
And then it wasn't.
the Jets don't look good. They looked discouraged. They looked like they wanted to get to their break. Not a lot of a volume of shots, but not a lot in terms of high danger chances. In this one, it was Brendan Gallagher, Anderson, also Josh Anderson. Each of them had a goal and 2 assists. Kapanen had his 18th goal of the season. It was a good outing for Sam Montembeau. You look at not only the goals that go in, but you look at the saves that he made. And Sam Montembeau, in my eyes, looked pretty shaky in the first period.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly am not going to blame him for the Kyle Connor power play goal.
No.
In the first period, that turned out to be the only Jets goal. That was more on the penalty killers, on Matheson and Deneau, than Montembeau. Kyle Connor almost had his 2nd of the period in the first, right off the post. And cleanly beat Montembeau. Montembeau was not tracking the puck well, kind of got handcuffed, and pucks would go just wide. Shots wide by the Jets. Even the commentators on the broadcast said the Jets had good scoring opportunities, but were shooting right into the crest of Montembeau. So I think after the first period, his confidence was kind of boosted, and he played well after that. So that's a good way for Montembeau to go into the break, and and for the Canadians to go into the break.
Definitely. So on the heels of all of that, your three stars of the week look a little slightly different than they have, which I think is probably a good thing, showing that some other players are stepping up. You've got Noah Dobson taking first star of the week for you.
Canadians played three games, as we said. Noah Dobson was had five assists, four even strength points, and finished a plus five in those three games. Brendan Gallagher, Brendan Gallagher, on that line of veterans, he had 4 points in those three games, 2 goals and 2 assists, was a plus three. And Cole Caulfield just keeps rolling along, 2 goals, 3 points, 11 shots on goal.
My goodness. All right. You also had quite a few honorable mentions as well.
Josh Anderson, again, that vets line, he had 3 points, a plus four. Lane Hutson, a plus six, team leading plus six. He had 3 points. Kirby Dock had 3 points.
That's great.
And he's making a case to be on that top line permanently. Mm-hmm. And 2 goals for Oliver Kapanen with a plus three.
I cannot say that I am surprised to see the name that you have as your struggling player of the week.
Matheson, I mentioned he did not have a game. I don't think anyone can disagree that he had a tough game in Minnesota. He had the worst plus minus on the team this week. Still continues to average 26 minutes a game of ice time, and he did not contribute to the offensive game this week. Just one assist.
Not great. So that takes us 57 games into the season for the Montreal Canadiens. And with those 57 games, they hold a 32-17-8 record. That is 72 points for them. That's bumped them to second place in the Atlantic Division, sixth overall in the NHL, in a playoff spot, not a wild card spot. They are in a playoff spot. And their odds of making the playoffs definitely got a nice little boost since last week.
Nice jump. Last week, odds of making the playoffs were 71%. This week, they're up to 82.7, and that's via Money Puck.
Mm-hmm. All right. Roster news. Let's talk about the roster. Sammy Blais placed on waivers on Tuesday, and then... So I think everyone, here we go again. Is Toronto going to scoop it and claim him again? Are we going to play this game? No. This time, Sammy Blais cleared waivers and was assigned to Laval.
Yeah. I know there. Sammy Blais has his cheerleading club out there, and but he has essentially proven over the last few years that he is a very good AHL player, mm-hmm. Can be called up as an injury replacement as the injuries come back. It's time for Sammy to go back to the AHL, and that he did on Thursday.
That's right. It is February now, and so that meant we have a Molson Cup winner to announce for the club for the month of January, and this time it was Juraj Slafkovský.
8 goals, 8 assists, 16 points in 16 games. He is your Molson Cup winner for the month of January. Beat out Cole Caulfield, who had scored 13 goals in January.
Wow.
So, yeah, quite a feat for Slav.
As they wrapped up this portion of the season, as you said, Doc has been on that top line with Caulfield and Suzuki, and has seemed to be settling in pretty decently there.
He's added some of that physicality and forechecking ability that Slafkovský used to on that line, and certainly is better in that role than a Textier, who hasn't been back in the lineup yet. So if he can maintain that, that's exactly the kind of person that they want, mm-hmm. kind of player that they want on that top line. It allows Marty St. Louis to keep that second line together, the fourth line of veterans together, and an adequate line of Evans, Bolduc, and Valeno as your third line.
Yeah. All right. Why don't we take a quick look at the Habs prospect report?
It's time for the Rocket Report. The Rocket Sports Media Team is your premier source for information about the Laval Rocket, the AHL affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens, as well as Habs prospects playing in the CHL, NCAA, and leagues around the world.
The prospect we're going to highlight first off this week is a pretty fun player, one we haven't mentioned in a little while, but certainly has forced our hand, saying, hey, don't forget about me and check out what I've been doing. And that is LJ Mooney, who is currently on a 6-game point streak.
He is. And that's especially important as the NCAA over the next few weeks is going to start to wind things up.
Yeah.
Last weekend, it was a series, Minnesota versus Wisconsin. He had 5 points in those two games. And as you said, on a 6-game point streak. So just a reminder, he was drafted in the fourth round, last draft, 2025, 113 overall. On the diminutive side, 5'8", 165.
Okay. For the Laval Rocket, couple of personnel notes, first and foremost. The Rocket are actually playing... they played on Friday night. They are playing Saturday afternoon as well. Happy to say David Reinbacher, who has been out day-to-day with an upper body injury. He practiced on Friday. It looks like he is playing on Saturday afternoon. So that's good to hear. Also, in terms of things that happened on Friday, the Rocket named an interim goalie coach for the remainder of the season. His name is Ilya Yezhov, and he's got his resume is pretty interesting in that he's got a bit of diversity, but he's also pretty familiar with the area.
He is. Yeah, as a goaltender, played for the Hawkesbury Hawks, and a couple of years in the queue for the St. John's Fog Devils. I was saying before the podcast, I wish I could message my dear friend, Shannon Cody, Shaq, former equipment manager with the Canadiens AHL affiliate, because Shaq was with the St. John's Fog Devils in the queue in between 2005 and 2007. And that's when Yezhov was there as the goaltender as well. 39 games in 2005-06, 52 games in 2006-07. And from there, he made the jump to Russia, played 13 years, I believe it was 13 years in the KHL, had very good numbers in the KHL. One of his stops for 4 years, I believe, was St. Petersburg. We know that franchise very well. Mm-hmm. So he has that background in both the Q, in the KHL, and is fluent in English, French, and Russian. Most recently, he has retired from his playing career and has been working with Concordia University in U Sports, the goaltending coach for the 2024-25 season, and then most recently this season. And so comes on as the interim goalie coach for the Laval Rocket.
And he was one of the guest coaches at development camp this summer.
Yes, that's right.
So congratulations to him. We'll see how he does as the interim goaltending coach for the Laval Rocket. It seems like a good fit for now, and we'll see. Best of luck to him. In terms of Laval playing, they have had 3 games since our last podcast. On the road, beating Syracuse in overtime, 3-2, never an easy task to win in Syracuse. Jacob Fowler backstopping the team with 26 saves. He was the first star of the night that night. Wednesday, they returned back to Place Belle. Big defeat, big win, I should say, over the Utica Comets, winning 6-2. Laurent Dauphin with 3 points in that game, actually. And as I mentioned, they played on Friday night. The Cleveland Monsters are in town in Laval. Laval winning 5-4 in overtime against the Cleveland Monsters, another important divisional win. And that was Fowler in net once again.
Sixth straight start for Fowler. Jeff Gorton said they want to give him as many pro games as possible to see where he's at. Well, they're doing exactly that. Mm-hmm. We mentioned a little earlier that Sammy Blay was sent back to Laval. He played on Friday night and picked up an assist. Owen Beck got the tying goal in this game. Laval was down. Owen Beck with fuel to come back. And then Mark Delgaiza with the overtime winner. Florian Jacka, good game as well with 3 points.
Very good. So through 46 games for Laval, they are 28-14-2-2. Those 60 points have them tops of the North Division, sixth overall in the AHL. They are on a four-game winning streak. They still have 26 games left to play. So see if they can continue holding on to some of those top spots. They play Cleveland again Saturday afternoon at 3. Then they don't play again until Friday when the Hershey Bears come to town. They're always a tough opponent. And that will be because after Saturday's game, it's time for the break for the AHL All-Star Classic. It's taking place in the Midwest this year. And that will take place on, I believe, Tuesday and Wednesday, the 10th and 11th. Remember, there are Pascal Vincent will be behind the bench for the North Division. And then Laval has, I believe, three representatives going, including Jacob Fowler.
And look for Jacob Fowler. He'll have a special all-star mask for the event. And if you've seen any of Jacob Fowler's masks, you know that he has in recognition of his home state of Florida license plates on his back pad. This time he has a Quebec license plate on the back, which is really nice.
That's great. And be sure, do tune into the AHL All-Star Classic, not just to root on all of the representatives from Laval. It will be a Laval-heavy AHL All-Star game, but just to watch some of the top prospects in the AHL. I actually have started to prefer the AHL All-Star events to the NHL ones because they are much more skill-based and that type of thing, and they always seem to have a lot of fun. So be sure to check it out. I believe you can catch it on Flow Hockey. Excuse me. And I'm not sure if they're airing it on the NHL Network or not, but I know you can catch it on Flow Hockey. And so do try to check that out. Trois-Rivières in the ECHL, they have played 41 games. They have 38 points right now. They are struggling at the moment. Sixth place in the North Division, 24th in the ECHL. Let's hope they can turn things around here in the last half of the season.
Just before we leave this section, I just want to direct folks to the AHL.com website. Our dear friend Patrick Williams has a two-part feature on the Laval Rocket and called Life in Montreal. And it's about being a prospect. That was part one. And the second part is mostly about Pascal Vincent saying how he's the perfect fit to guide the Rocket. Really, really well done. Great work by Patrick Williams. A feature, a two-part set. You're going to want to read that.
Definitely. So go to theahl.com, theahl.com. Look for that two-part series. Very nice job, Patrick Williams. He always does tremendous, tremendous work. Okay, last but not least, in case you missed it this week, Artemi Panarin was traded from the New York Rangers to L.A. And if you thought Artemi Panarin was going to garner a whole boatload of things in return, well, the Rangers got forward prospect Liam Greentree and a conditional 2026 third rounder.
Yeah, that's a bargain, obviously. A song, as they say. I saw some of the mock trades that Canadiens fans were, and they were shipping half the prospects and picks and everything else to the Rangers. Well, it didn't take that much because Panarin, he was in full control. He had a full move, full no move clause in his contract, mm-hmm. and said to the Rangers, "I will agree to waive for only one team." So that made it. That made it a little tough for Drury and put Ken Holland in a really great position to be able to get Panarin. As well, the Rangers retained 50% of Panarin's remaining salary. And then Holland turned around and signed Panarin for a two-year $22 million contract, which is a little bit less than folks were saying. The 11 AAV, 11 million AAV was a little less than he was reportedly looking for.
Very interesting. Everybody, there's a lot of speculation, and so it was interesting to see that finally go down right before the trade freeze. And that trade freeze obviously took place because the Winter Olympics were about to start, and so that means we are about to watch Olympic hockey take place. So when will you get to see the four Montreal Canadiens representing their countries? Well, Nick Suzuki and Team Canada play their first game on February 12th versus Czechia.
That'll be a tough matchup.
Yes, it will.
And it'll be interesting to see who's in goal for Canada. Mm-hmm. Binnington, but he's had a terrible season, but they seem to have confidence in him that he can come up for the big big games. Where will Nick Suzuki play? I see a lot of projected lineups where you might see him centering the third line with line mates like Tom Wilson, Brad Marchand. That would give Nick a lot of room, but we'll see with Braden Point now out of the Olympics where Nick Suzuki will end up.
Team Finland with Oliver Kapanen, their first game will be the day before that. They will be playing on February 11th against Juraj Slavkovský and the Slovakians. So Kapanen and Slavkovský going to face off on February 11th against each other.
Line mates going against each other.
Yeah. And I've seen some projected lineups for Finland that Kapanen might be on the second line.
Slavkovský likes trash talk, and particularly Dobish, by the way. But I'm sure that a few words will be said headed Kapanen's way in that game.
Oh, I'm sure. And last but not least, Alexander Texier playing for Team France. Their first game is against Switzerland on February 12th as well. So
now he's been out of the lineup, but for the Canadians, but all signs are that he's likely to play for France.
It's going to be exciting to get to watch NHL players return to Olympic competition. I know that I can't wait to tune in. I'm sure all of you can't as well, and we'll see how all of the teams make out. All right, we are going to take our first break here on the Canadians Connection podcast. We have a new message from our sponsors over at DraftKings. The Super Bowl is this weekend, so DraftKings has a special message for all of you, all of our listeners for the Super Bowl. Check that out, and on the other side, we are breaking down the Canadians' next critical decisions between now and the trade deadline. Lots to dig into, so stick around. You're listening to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Super Bowl 60 deserves a sportsbook built for the moment. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 60, puts you right in the center of the biggest game of the year. Anything can happen during the Super Bowl, and DraftKings has your back with early exit. If your player goes down in the first half, you still get paid in cash when your bet settles. No bonus bets, no waiting. While other sports books don't offer injury protection, DraftKings covers the entire first half. Yes, even the second quarter. And early exit works on live bets, too. Pre-game or in-game, DraftKings has you covered. New to DraftKings? Well, new customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if your bet wins. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code THPN. That's code THPN to turn $5 into $300 in bonus bets if your bet wins. In partnership with DraftKings, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Connecticut, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino in Kansas, wager tax pass-through may apply in Illinois. 21 plus in most states, void in Ontario. Restrictions apply. Bet must win to receive bonus bets, which expire in 7 days. Minimum odds required. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/audio. Limited time offer. And welcome back to the Canadians Connection podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio. Once again, I am Amy Johnson. With me in the studio, of course, is Rick Stevens, my co-host and our president and founder here at Rocket Sports. You can follow both of us on Twitter if you'd like to. My handle is at Flyers Rule. Rick's is at Rocket Sports. That's also our main account on X for all of our content. So be sure you're following him at Rocket Sports. You're also welcome to follow this podcast, particularly at Habs Connection. That's on X, on Facebook, on Instagram. And I'd say the one thing you want to make sure you do is just make sure that you've subscribed to the podcast. We're here each and every week of the year, even through the summer. And so if you want a place to have some real objective talk about the Montreal Canadiens, then this is where you want to be. So with the Olympic break officially underway, it's kind of like a natural point of time to take stock of where the Canadiens are currently, and maybe even more importantly than that, take a look at where they are headed next. It's kind of a rare chance to just step back and look at the bigger picture and kind of just evaluate things and take the temperature and get ready for this final push for the second and last part of the season. So between now and the trade deadline on March 6th, we're a month away, just a month away from the trade deadline. And there's a lot of key moments that are coming up that are going to kind of play a big part into shaping the rest of the season. You know, we're going to get into what some of those events, deadlines, and dates are going to be, the decisions that Kent Hughes is going to have to make along the way. And so we're going to kind of take this in three parts. We're going to briefly look back to get an overview of the Canadiens and their sum total through the 57 games that they've played. We're going to take a look at what's coming up and map out for you the important dates and deadlines and events that you need to remember over the next couple of weeks. Then we're going to really identify what the team needs at each position and examine that under the microscope of what of those issues or needs to be addressed now at the trade deadline and which things should just be left alone for the time being.
57 games in the books. That's 70% of the games are done. We're almost three quarters of the way through the season already.
Wasn't it just preseason?
It seems so. And if you're a Habs fan, you got to be pretty happy with what has happened, the way the Canadiens have played, how the season has evolved so far. We mentioned earlier, 72 points, second in the Atlantic, sixth in the NHL, winning percentage of .632. They're on pace right now for a 103-point season, which would be secure a playoff spot.
Yeah.
Goals for, they haven't had an issue. No. Scoring has not been an issue. 199 goals already. That places them third in the NHL. It's been the defensive side of the ledger that's a problem. Goals against, 187, which is 24th in the league, and that's got to be some concern for both fans, coaching, management. A goal differential of only plus 12, which places them 10th in the NHL.
Okay. You know, their division is not exactly a walk in the park. The Atlantic is really, really competitive.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing that that the team certainly isn't going to sit back and relax. And fans shouldn't either. There shouldn't be an expectation that, oh, we can just cruise to the playoffs now, because it's very competitive. The Canadians cannot afford any kind of losing streak, because that allows an opportunity for one of the other teams to jump up and pass them.
Definitely. Just, you know, because it's fun to start thinking about these scenarios. If the playoffs started today, Tampa would play Boston. That'd be a matchup.
Like the outdoor game was unbelievable.
Spicy.
Yeah, one of the best.
Montreal would play the Red Wings,
which is great. Original six matchup. I saw somewhere where they hadn't played. Had one of those kind of matchups since the late 70s. And two teams that part of a rebuild and are taking over, from the Bostons and the Torontos I'd like a series like that.
Definitely, the Pittsburgh Penguins would face off against the New York Islanders.
Sid against Patrick Waugh.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Carolina would be pitted against the Buffalo Sabres.
That'd be an interesting series, too.
It would.
Speedy, physical.
In the West, the Avalanche and Ducks would face off. Okay. Dallas and Minnesota. Now, that's where this format is a crime.
It's wrong.
That is where this format is a crime.
Yeah.
You would lose either Dallas or Minnesota. No.
That's wrong.
In the first round, Edmonton would play Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And Vegas and Utah, which could be a really
interesting.
Yeah, that could be. So that's if the playoffs started today, but they don't. Don't worry. But some interesting matchups just if that were to happen. So it's not time for the playoffs. So what is coming next? Well, The trade freeze started at 3 p.m. Eastern on February 4th, and it's going to run for a while. It doesn't end until just about midnight, almost midnight, 11:59 p.m. on February 22nd.
So not only is there a trade freeze, but, you know, there's a lot of players who are not at the Olympics. They can't practice.
Mm-mm.
They can't practice.
Not officially, not collectively.
No official practices between February 6th and 16th. That's during the Olympic tournament. The Olympic tournament falling between the 11th starts this week to the 22nd.
Mm-hmm. Now, teams can resume full practices after 2 p.m. local time on February 17th.
Lots of rules here.
There are. So that is before the end of the Olympic tournament, but they do allow for a little bit of time to start getting teams back together and getting some practice time in and getting reacclimated, that type of thing. Olympics end on February 22nd. The NHL schedule resumes game action 3 days later on February 25th. And then it's...
And I should say the Montreal Canadiens on the 26th, the next day, Thursday,
okay, yeah.
The 26th, the home game.
That's good. So the Canadiens on the 26th. And then, no, it's not the Summer Olympics, but then it's a sprint. it's a sprint to the playoffs, because then 25 games need to be played in just 48 days. There's five back-to-backs in there.
Yeah, it's less than a game every 2 days.
Yeah.
And the Canadians don't have an easy schedule. Strength of schedule, eighth toughest in the NHL. So this is going to be an outright sprint. It's going to be taxing. It's going to be wearing, fatiguing, whatever phrase you want to use. Five back-to-backs, it's going to be really tough. And we've got the trade deadline coming up. Mm-hmm. You think it's way off in March.
No.
Well, March 6th. But that means that there are three games. The Montreal Canadiens, once they're back from the Olympic break, have just three games until the trade deadline. At home versus the Islanders, at home versus Washington, and then on the road to start their Western tour against the Sharks.
Whew. It's going to be fast and furious. It's going to happen
Absolutely.
Really quickly. So trade deadline is kind of officially on the table. It's time to start talking about it. And so today we want to kind of take a look at each of the positions and examine where the issues are, what needs to be fixed. And as I said at the top of the segment, ask the hard question of, is this something that needs to be fixed at the trade deadline, or is this something that Kent Hughes and Jeff Gorton should leave alone for right now? So let's start with the forwards. And the big obvious thing right now with the forwards is that there's a logjam now as guys are getting healthy.
Too many forwards.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff Gorton was quoted this week as saying, quote, "If you look at our roster, I think it's pretty clear we have extra guys."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, end quote.
You think?
Pretty clear. Sammy Blais, that was an easy move, putting Sammy Blais on waivers and then sending Sammy Blais to Laval. And needed a spot for Texier, will need a spot for Alex Newhook, who should return following the Olympic break. He's been out since mid-November with that broken ankle. And then what to do about Patrick Laine. He's ready to return. We've seen him on the trade bait boards. We've heard that Kent Hughes is working to try and trade him, that the Canadians are willing to sweeten the pot to add a pick, maybe even keep half of his salary. Nick Kiprios has said in his mind that there might be a matchup with Edmonton, and if the Canadians would take back Andrew Mangiapane, who the Canadians don't need.
Andrew,
don't need the extra forward. So there are too many forwards, and you gotta, I think, make room. Because Michael Hage will join the team after his. Now, they're having a great season, and they're likely to go a little ways. But he'll likely join the Canadiens after his NCAA season is over. It was Jeff Gorton this week has said that they added forwards because they didn't want to be stuck with – all these Band-Aid options after the injuries, that mm-hmm. the injury situation they had, and the guys that they added filled in admirably. But now there's a logjam, and they need to do something about it.
And I think that I saw this week that Zach Bolduc is now waiver eligible. I think he's crossed that threshold. So if he's one that ends up being needing to move, they'll have a decision to make there as well. So what do you do with a logjam like that? I mean, as you say, you don't want to bring back a guy like Andrew Mangiapane, because that doesn't help. That's going to be a delicate kind of moving the pieces around the chessboard to make sure that what's the thing that Kent Hughes said time and again at the beginning, that they don't want to do anything that's going to block a path.
Yeah. And block the path of the young prospects,
yeah.
the young players who need to play, who need to gain experience and need to feel comfortable as part of the core. I think that, again, there are options. Joe Valeno has filled in nicely. He's also been a healthy scratch at times, and fans get attached to these replacement players, but that's the difficult decision that sometimes has to be made that they may need to be a healthy scratch. And we know that after the trade deadline, there won't be the roster pressure that there is now. There will be for the lineup, but there won't be so much for the roster limits.
That's right. Okay, so on defense, like, if you don't, to use Marty's favorite term, if you are not, like, holding on to your chair on the carousel of defense, you're going to go flying off because they are rotating constantly.
Well, there are five defensemen who they rely on, that the Canadians give time to, and they're in that sixth position. There is a carousel, and it's Arber Jacki and Jaden Struble. Mm-hmm. You know, they look good for a game, and then they don't, and they each have their challenges. And they each have struggle not only getting into the lineup, but garnering ice time, and it's tough. And Jeff Gordon addressed that again this week. He said, "We clearly have five guys that are playing more than most teams have right now. Two guys are fighting for one spot, and that's a lot of pressure on them." The Canadians recognize it. It's a difficult situation. It's not a good situation when you're heaping minutes on the players that Marty St. Louis and Stéphane Robitaille trust the most. But that's the situation they have right now. I don't know that anyone would disagree that the Canadiens' biggest need. Now, it started out, everyone was talking about at the beginning of the season, the Canadiens needing a second line center. And Oliver Kapanen Oliver Kapanen and the entire second line with Demidov and Slavkovsky have calmed that talk down. And Hage is due to come in at some point. So it's not an urgent need. The urgent need is a right shot physical defenseman. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest need. The Canadians have two on the left who play physically. Caden Gooley and Arber Jacki can play physically, but, you know, when you're playing 5 minutes a game or being scratched, it's tough. So their biggest need is a right shot, defensive, physical defenseman. And I don't know that that's going to be solved by the trade deadline. It just might have to be that they continue this carousel as the season, regular season winds down.
Well, in a recent press conference, Marty was asked about his defense, whether he's got a mobile defense or a physical defense currently, and this is how he responded to that.
So you're saying that we're more mobile than physical?
Would you disagree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we're both.
You know, like, Mike Matheson is very mobile, but he's very physical too. You know, Lane is very mobile and he's very physical too, but not the same way, you know? So I think you got to be both, and you know, when you're both, you're hard to play against on both sides. You know, I feel our D has play with a lot of pace. You know, defensive pace, but offensive pace too.
It's clear, Marty St. Louis loves his defense, and he said it a number of times, including very recently, that he would put his six defensemen up against any other group in the NHL. I don't happen to agree, but he certainly, he believes that. He has defensemen that fit his defensive system, and he doesn't see a need for defensive, physical defensemen. You noticed when he was asked about playing physically, he didn't mention Gooley. He didn't mention Jacki. I mentioned Mike Matheson, first of all. I brought it up. I mean, we won't show him the game sheet from the Minnesota Wild game where Mike Matheson has had zero hits in that. But it's not about hits for Marty St. Louis. It's not about being physical in front of the net and clearing the crease. It's not about forwards being intimidated against a physical. He doesn't see any of that as the kind of defenseman that he likes and wants to deploy. So, Marty has a big say in the personnel for this team. So will they go out and get either prior to the trade deadline? Will there be an opportunity to get a physical defenseman, to get a Parayko, to get somebody who can boost that kind of play? I don't think it, from the talk of it, Marty St. Louis is not interested. There's Adam Engstrom, who can be called up. He's not a physical defenseman. He's another puck moving, defenseman who's going to, be responsible defensively, but clear the zone quickly and join in with the offense. We might think there's a need, but I don't think Marty thinks there's a need. So don't hold your breath expecting something to happen, with respect to the defense. Before the trade deadline.
Goaltending, I'm happy to say, I think they should leave alone for right now.
Yeah. I mentioned last week, Jakub Dobish, the most maligned, whatever it was at that point, 18-win goaltender. He has changed quickly. He has carried the Canadiens. I mentioned earlier 22 games where he's earned points, and I think it's clear. It should be clear that he's your number one goaltender for the rest of the season. He should get the majority of the starts, and if Montembeau has his confidence up. If he can go against weaker competition like the Jets, if he can, move into the crease every three or four games, have lots of rest, have plenty of time to work with Marco Marciano in between time, I think that's how the Canadians would like to deal with that. Jeff Gorton said this week that management is more comfortable with the goaltending they have than the rest of the hockey community is. And so unless there's a disaster, they really would prefer Fowler to stay in Laval. Fowler has shown that if there is an emergency, if absolutely necessary, he can come up to the Canadiens. But I think they want him to play as much as possible in Laval, and they very quickly went out and got a goalie coach for him. So I think, as you said, status quo is likely to reign with respect to goaltending.
So I mentioned at the top of the show that we'd hit each position, forwards, defense, goaltending, and then maybe a couple of categories that are a little outside the box. And one of those we need to talk about special teams in terms of the penalty kill. And the hot mess that is the PK.
Penalty kill, power play has been good all season. Around seventh in the league, thereabouts. Penalty kill has struggled. It has really struggled. And part of that is, you saw the players that have exited at the end, the unrestricted free agents that left at the end. But in particular, it seems like the defense and part of that is Caden Gooley missing so much time. Right now, power play is clicking along at 24% efficiency, seventh in the NHL. Penalty kill is 77%, and that's way down at 25th in the NHL. Now, Phil Deneau, the acquisition of Phil Deneau, was supposed to solve at least part of the penalty killing troubles, and it hasn't really done that. And I think that's because, with Carrier or Matheson or who's ever out there on the back end, that's been a problem, and that's not likely to be created, fixed by personnel. That's going to have to be coaching that figures out a way to improve the power play, or sorry, the penalty kill, because that will be crucial during the playoffs.
Speaking of coaching, they fixed the goaltending coaching issue. Marco Marciano, now the de facto goaltending coach for the Montreal Canadiens, getting his promotion from Laval. You'd mentioned this briefly when we were talking about Fowler a minute ago. They have confirmed he's going to spend the Olympic break in Laval working with Fowler and doing some other
things
as well.
That's Marco. Marco Marciano.
Yes.
Yeah.
To work with Fowler and do some other things as well.
And I think to act as a transition to help, you know, the Ilya Yezhov has a lot of experience in the crease, but very little experience just with Concordia over a year and a half as a goalie coach. So I think Marco will not only be tutoring Fowler, but maybe their brand new interim Laval goaltending coach.
And I think that was wise as far as the timing, because it gives him a couple of weeks to basically onboard Ilya and get him comfortable, be there to answer any questions he has, hands-on kind of training and transitioning and that type of thing. So I think that's going to work out really well. So there you have it. The Canadiens really ending this part of the first two-thirds of the season on a high note. Things are going to move really quickly now that this February break is happening. And even before that break is over, things are going to ramp up. The team's going to get back together to start practicing, and then it's going to be a mad rush to the trade deadline. And as we just outlined, there are some things that Kent Hughes needs to look at the trade deadline. It's just a matter of what's he going to do now and what's he going to wait on. And that's kind of really what we want to ask you in our Canadiens Connection question of the week this week. And that is, how should the Canadiens approach the trade deadline? Should they be patient or should they be aggressive? Do you want to see Kent Hughes go all out at this trade deadline, or do you want to kind of have him temper things a little bit and go cautiously, go intentionally? We would love to know your thoughts on this, because the trade deadline is always kind of a hot topic one way or the other.
And before you answer, let me add a piece of information to the puzzle.
Yeah.
Talked a lot about Jeff Gorton. He spoke to Sportsnet this week. With respect to the trade deadline, here's a quote from Jeff Gorton. "We'd like to be aggressive, and we will be if need be." What do you think that means?
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks for that completely vague answer.
Very vague. Not giving anything
covering
away.
All the
We'd
bases.
Like to be aggressive.
If we need to
we
be.
We will be if need be.
Yeah.
If you think, yeah.
It's helpful. So you tell us, how should the Canadiens and Jeff Gorton approach the trade deadline? Should they be patient, or should they be aggressive? Send us a text at the Rocket Sports text line, 5853-ROCKET. Drop us a comment on YouTube or on Spotify, or hit us up on social media at Habs Connection, X, Facebook, or Instagram. We can't wait to hear what you think about this, and we will be picking the best responses to read on next week's show. So get in your answers. And while you're thinking about that, we are going to take one more break here, hear from our sponsors over at DraftKings. And when we're coming back, we've got a couple of great responses to last week's question of the week, so you're not going to want to miss it. Stick around. You're listening to the Canadiens Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Super Bowl 60 deserves a sportsbook built for the moment. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 60, puts you right in the center of the biggest game of the year. Anything can happen during the Super Bowl, and DraftKings has your back with early exit. If your player goes down in the first half, you still get paid in cash when your bet settles. No bonus bets, no waiting. While other sportsbooks don't offer injury protection, DraftKings covers the entire first half. Yes, even the second quarter. And early exit works on live bets, too. Pre-game or in-game, DraftKings has you covered. New to DraftKings? Well, new customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if your bet wins. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code THPN. That's code THPN to turn $5 into $300 in bonus bets if your bet wins. In partnership with DraftKings, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Connecticut, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino in Kansas, wager tax pass-through may apply in Illinois. 21 plus in most states, void in Ontario. Restrictions apply. Bet must win to receive bonus bets which expire in 7 days. Minimum odds required. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/audio. Limited time offer. And welcome back to episode 386 of the Canadians Connection podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio. Don't forget, if you haven't done so already, be sure you are subscribed to the show. We don't ever want you to miss a week of any episodes whatsoever. We're here every week of the year. And if you are on a platform where you can leave us some feedback, we'd love that. If you can drop a like, if you can give us a 5-star review, if you can leave a review, that's even better. If you drop a comment on our YouTube channel, that's over at InsideTheCanadians.com. Even if you just want to say, hey, I love the show, or hey, I have a question for you, or hey, here's my answer to the Canadians Connection question of the week. Anything. We'd love to hear from all of you. We certainly appreciate your listening and watching. And if you do enjoy our show, if you just take a second to share the episode on your platform that you are currently on, that goes a long way to helping us out. Doesn't cost you a thing. Takes just 2 seconds. So thank you so much. Don't forget, get in your responses to the question of the week. How should the Canadians approach the trade deadline? Should they be patient or should they be aggressive? We want to know.
Mm-hmm.
Get your answers in. Last week, it was all about goaltending, and we asked, who are you the most comfortable with as the Canadiens' goaltending tandem for the rest of the season? And asked you to pick two of Dobesh, Montembeau, Fowler, and Kakanen, and then asked, of the two that you choose that you think should be the tandem going forward, which of them should get the most starts? And we had a couple of really great answers here. I'm going to let you start because one of them is from our Rocket Sports team, actually.
And this comes from our Rocket Sports internal Slack group. Mm-hmm. It's not just you and I, although we're the voices on the podcast, but we have a team of Rocket Sports contributors behind us. And Mike R. is one of them. He keeps an eye on the CHL, Canadian Junior Hockey, and is my go-to for anything about Canadian juniors. But he's also a very keen Habs fan, and he answered this question. First, he says, great episode. And on the question of the week, he says, I think you know my ranking, but here you go. In the NHL, that's the Canadiens, his starter, Mike's starter, would be Jakub Dobish. Backup would be Kaapo Kähkönen. And Monty would be placed on waivers. In the AHL, the Laval Rocket, his starter would be Jacob Fowler. The backup would be Monty if he clears waivers, and Jones, that would be Hunter Jones, if he doesn't. I don't think the waivers decision... Mike goes on, I don't think the waivers decision needs to be made before the Olympic break, but at some point before the trade deadline, in those 3 games before the trade deadline, if Monty can't find his game under the new goaltending coach. Always a well thought out response, and we really appreciate that from Mike.
Definitely. Over on YouTube, Leonid chimed in on this. He says, thanks for a great show and an interesting discussion. These days, when discussing such topics, people often just want to offer listeners a simple solution, pointing the finger at one or the other. I'm glad that's not the case here. I heard this opinion from Montembeau for a journalist from Setanta Sport, but the more I think about it, the more I think there's something to it. Sam
meaning Montembeau, constantly misses long shots even when he should see them, like in the game against Boston. Perhaps the Canadian goalie has vision problems? Of course, we're not talking about problems like those we experience in our everyday lives. However, the speed at which the puck's flight is very high. We're talking about fractions of a second, meaning the puck moves very quickly. He goes on to say, the Satanta journalist shared several experts from the memoirs of goalies of the past where they talked about similar problems and how they hit them as best they could for obvious reasons. If you look closely at a white wall, you can see a painting on it, and I'm finding more and more confirmation of this theory, but I still decided to share this thought, even though it's a little, shall we say, unusual. Perhaps it will add a new color to the discussion. Leonid, always good for a thoughtful and thought-provoking, thought-provoking comment, and that is certainly an interesting one. The one thing I absolutely concur on is Sam does constantly miss long shots from the perimeter.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Thank you very much for Leonid. We want to hear from you. We want to be reading your answers on next week's show. No, there will not be a Montreal Canadiens game this week, but we will have Montreal Canadiens playing at the Olympics to talk about next week, as well as probably a host of other things that you're not going to want to miss. The Canadiens don't play again until the end of the month. They won't play until the 26th, as Rick said, and the 28th. That's New York Islanders and the Washington Capitals. We'll keep you posted on that. But for this week, sit back and enjoy some Olympic hockey. It's been a while since we've been treated to that. I think it's going to be a fantastic competition, whoever you're rooting for.
And watch some bobsleigh. Watch some curling.
I've been watching curling already. Mixed doubles. Hello? Weird?
Speed skating.
Yeah.
Mixed doubles curling.
Downhill? Alpine skiing?
Oh, there's lots to watch.
Oh, yeah. So much. Enjoy the Olympics. The Winter Olympics are very, very much fun.
And the Super Bowl.
And we will be back here next Saturday, February 14th. Valentine's Day edition of the Canadians Connection podcast with lots to talk about. Trust me, you don't want to miss it. So join us. We want to see you here. Thank you so much for listening to the Canadians Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio.
Click subscribe so you never miss an episode of Canadians Connection. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Rocket Sports.